This week, we discuss the King's decision to spurn House Valyrian, Rhaenyra's bold move to claim back a dragon egg, and what's worse, death by rats or by crabs? Welcome to Bastards and Broken Things. No, we're not using that. Hello, our lovely, loyal listeners. This week, joining me in our very own small council, returning to Bastards and Broken Things, is Lady Emma. Lady Emma, how are you doing? Yeah.
Back from the dead for episode two. Hello.
Yeah, it's weird because I was thinking about it and I was associating houses with different people's names and you just strike me as an Arryn. I don't know why. So it kind of works because Emma is an Arryn. So it works out for you quite well. All right. Also, you are.
I don't know
bit...
why I bothered to come back for that insight.
No, that's a good house. Emma Arryn.
Yeah, it's a good
that's
house.
A cool name.
Mm. Yeah. Emma Arryn's cool. I mean, we're not saying you're like Liza Arryn. I mean, you do have similarities to Liza Arryn, but we're not going to get into those on this podcast.
Breastfeeding Gaz.
Thank God he moved to Australia. That was awkward for years.
Had to wean him off on my boob for a while.
Yeah, very now difficult. Look at him.
No, all formula.
Dry. Very dry lend.
We have Sir Gareth with us, who has been demoted to my squire.
Too easy, that. Too easy, that. That's a joke.
It is.
Nonsense.
It is. But more wine, please, Gareth, for the rest of the troop. And especially for this next guest, Bronze John, who is here to bring us his surly, burly...
Curly.
Depressed views on the world of Westeros.
Yep.
Okay,
so. Not happy with this wine that Gaz has brought over. There's a bit of formula in it.
Yeah, go on.
That's how I like it. So,
yeah. Oh,
Claggy. It's good that.
Claggy wine.
Anyway, talking about what we're drinking that isn't breast milk or formula.
What is that, John?
It's mad,
that
isn't
literally
it?
literally looks like sewage.
It's horrible, isn't it?
Yeah.
And you complain about my formula wine. Jeez.
He's gone down to Flea Bottom and he's just put a cup in like the sort of streams that are happening down there. And he's come up with that. Disgusting.
It does look like I'm drinking out of a bedpan, to be honest. But
yeah, honestly.
Well, I'm drinking a pint of peach, fruit and barley over here. So to make it slightly less exciting than
well, that looks like piss. So you're drinking piss. I'm drinking some sort of like shitty sewage pipe, although it tastes delicious.
I'm drinking a whiskey that John actually bought me, Oban.
Oh, yeah.
You know, beautiful Oban. Serving of Oban here. And I'm going to top that off with a very shit beer here in Australia, Great Northern.
Oh, yeah.
But because it says Great Northern, you know what I mean?
Yeah. It's clever.
Expecting those Starks, you know?
Well done.
So, lovely. What about you, Gareth?
I'm drinking the cheap whiskey that I had to get in to my house so that I could give whiskey to Len when he came over. because every time he came over, he demanded swathes of the excellent special whiskey that John bought me, which I like to save for a special occasion. So I'm drinking my cheap whiskey, and then I'm backing it up with some breast milk.
Oh, lovely.
Yay! Curious,
fresh
in
from
the UK.
Lady Aimer. Anyway, so episode two, titled The Rogue Prince. What are your thoughts, guys? What are your thoughts? Obviously, we have the blueberry scale here. It's 1 to 5 blueberries. There can be no halves. It's a very harsh but fair scale. The first episode scored a 4, a 4, and a 3. A 3 was from Lucy, Lady Lucy, who cannot be with us today.
She's not died.
I'm going to throw this one over to Emma. She's not died.
Wow.
So maybe. Don't spread any rumours. We haven't heard anything for like 20 minutes, 30 minutes from her, so who knows. But I'm just saying we haven't heard anything, so it's all good. Emma, what is your score for this episode and your synopsis review?
Can I flip it around, synopsize and then score? I don't know if that's allowed anymore.
You can do what you want.
Okay, fine. Yeah, that's no, not true, is it, Len?
There's no rules.
I enjoyed episode two much more than I enjoyed episode one. There are some characters that I'm starting to get keener on, you know, in the 2 hours of which I've been watching House of the Dragon. I think it's moving correctly. It was quite exciting. I love the dragons. Very good and great. I'm interested to see where it goes and how certain things that happened in this episode play out with the interpersonal relationships of the characters. I think for me, this episode, comparatively to episode one, was a four bloop. It's not quite got me jumping around, but I am hooked to the screen and excited to see where we go next.
Mm.
Thank you, Emma. So you're giving it a three. No, you're giving this a four, and you gave last week's a three. Is that right?
Correct.
So you're giving last week's a three.
Yes.
There you go. Now, I've had my trusty squire, Sir Gareth, with me all day today. And as soon as we finished the episode, we did a hot take, didn't we, Gareth?
Yeah.
That was fun, wasn't it?
It was fun. Go listen to that first.
Listen to that first, then listen to this, yeah? Nah, whatever. Listen to whatever you want, but
listen to both of them because of the downloads. Because we're doubling up.
Yeah,
so
yeah, downloads. Yummy, yummy downloads. Gareth, what are your thoughts then? We couldn't score it in the hot take, but now you can. You can score it. Go ahead.
As I said in the hot take, you know, I won't say too much about that because you've got to go and listen to it. Don't be lazy. Go and listen to that. But I really enjoyed this episode, actually. I thought it was... it was relatively... slow-paced and kind of tactical, I guess, and conversational was the big theme rather than any kind of heavy action. But I really liked a lot of the conversations and I really liked the movements of the characters and the positioning. You can see the setups happening here. And I think it's been a strong start. And I think this episode has done a lot of kind of the heavy lifting that's needed for a series like this, but it's done it in a way that I like really, really enjoyed. And I thought the acting stepped up this episode as well. I'm giving it four bloobs as well. And I think I can't remember whether we did blueberry it last hot take episode last week or not, Len.
No, we didn't. We did not, Gareth.
I was going to give that a four blueberry, but I will say I thought this was a better episode.
A stronger four.
A stronger four, if you will. Not really allowed, is it?
But no.
It's the truth. It's the truth, whether it's allowed or not. And we've got a kind of projection today in this episode, like a projection into the future where you can see where things are going. Last episode, it was a little bit hard to see the wood for the trees, if you will. But this is kind of showing us the direction that we're heading in. And I like the look of it.
Lovely. All right, Bronze John. So we're going to throw it over to you now. I know there's a couple of things that probably irritate you.
We're just going to preface everything with, look, I know there's a couple of things you would have fucking hated, but...
Yeah, exactly right. Give me your take on this episode, The Rogue Prince.
Yeah. Pretty spot on with what Gaz said, I think. It's... I'd give it a four. I don't know whether or not I was a bit hasty with my four in the first episode now, to be honest, but there are some things that worry me a little bit, actually. I think it's moving quite quickly.
I think it has to. It's not going to be like an eight series thing.
This whole season will span a decade.
It might be.
Nah, this will be three seasons, I reckon.
Well, yeah.
I don't know. But continue, John. Sorry. Yeah, continue.
Yeah. I just think, I mean, there's one bit in particular where it's like, well, I'm not happy with this. What are you trying to say? My daughter's not all that. 5 minutes later, he's at Dragonstone. I'm like, whoa. That didn't need to happen in the same episode. Wasn't happy about that. Way too quick. I mean, literally at the start of the episode, it's like, come on, it's been 6 months since that happened. So it's all right, okay. So that's a bit of a jump. But all in all, this episode did more of the things that I enjoy, which is the political and strategic movements of characters and motivations. I thought the dialogue between the queen that never was and the princess was very, yeah, very strong. Very strong. I like all that. And I even thought like the interaction at Dragonstone was awesome as well on the little bridge on the way up.
Yeah, that is good.
There were parts of that that felt like it could have come straight out of the world of Ice and Fire, like the illustrations and stuff. So a very strong episode. I'll give it 4 bloobs.
Lovely stuff. Well, better make it 4, lots of 4. And I found this quite difficult because I think, like you said last week, maybe we were a bit too, I don't know if we're too hasty. I think they're different sorts of episodes. Mm. This episode is what happens, and we said this in a hot take, usually after a pilot episode, you get a scene setting episode where it's, you know, we've been introduced to the players. We had all the violence last week, some maybe too much in one case, like we've discussed. And now it's time to start maneuvering characters and major players around the board. And because this takes place half a year after episode one, you can sense that tensions are rising, you know, like you just get these little lines thrown in about Daemon, you know, being in Dragon. He's supposed to go to the Vale, but he went to Dragonstone instead. The ancestral seat of the Targaryens, the seat of the heir of the throne and stuff like that. So you're sort of like, if you're just a casual viewer, you're like, what the fuck is going on here? What's happened? What did I miss an episode?
Mm.
But they're being quite bold in their decision to like do these time jumps. And we know, and I was saying this to Gaz in the hot takes, that, you know, old Rhaenyra is coming in about 3 episodes time.
Yeah.
So we're talking, you're going to be at least, I reckon the next episode will be a year later. You know, it's going to keep doing that.
It's longer than that, surely.
No, yeah. But I mean, it's going to be like a year, then it's going to be like another year, then it's going to be like 3 years, and then it'll be older Rhaenyra.
Sorry. What I thought you meant is in a year's time, they were just going to use the older actress.
I'm nah.
What the fuck's happened here? It was a big year.
Imagine that.
That's just terrible. Lazy.
But like you said, this is quite a conversationally heavy episode. Like it's just people in a room talking or doing the typical Game of Thrones thing, talking in the gardens or whatever. There's some really good stuff in here, but for me, some of the conversations still just didn't feel right. They didn't feel Martin-y enough for me.
Mm.
Some of them did, and you know, the Otto Hightower stuff that we've talked about. I think the scene on the bridge at Dragonstone definitely feels like a Martin scene to me, 100%. And having them speak High Valyrian definitely helps with that, because it gives it this extra level.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And they're just fucking hammy dialogue. But there's a couple of scenes in there where I'm just like, it's not quite right yet.
I agree.
And I think you can really tell that this is interpreted from a encyclopedic text instead of actual, you know, dialogue heavy texts and descriptive texts like Martin usually does. And I think they're going to have to find a real balance here to bring out that sort of the world a bit more in the dialogue, because I think it's close but it's not quite right. And some of it is really good though, like the Otto stuff, that the Rhaenyra and Daemon stuff seems really strong, and I think that's because there's a lot of Rhaenyra and Daemon in Fire and Blood, so there's a lot more interpretation. There's also some short stories that they can draw upon. So for me it's a 4, because I think it's a really solid episode. But it's a different sort of 4 to last week, you know. It just feels a completely different show in a way, which is good because it's got those political maneuverings that we all love.
It's always,
and it's really,
it's always difficult
now
to score a pilot, like a pilot episode,
yeah,
of,
oh yeah,
well, even the first episode of any new season, whether or not it's 2, 3, or 4, it's all, you always score it differently. I think back to, like the first episode of Lost, for example. I mean, that's just incredible.
Is amazing.
You think back to the first episode of Game of Thrones, introduce everyone, and then the end, you've got this, whoa, what's going on here? Aren't they brother and sister? Oh, why has he killed the kid? What the fuck? Like, that is like, bang. That's a 5 out of 5.
Yeah.
So The Watchmen as well is another one, where it's just like, wow, what a first episode that
fantastic
is.
Fantastic episode.
So it's always difficult scoring like a pilot episode because it does feel removed from the rest of it.
And especially when you then watch the second episode, you know, as you guys, you know, John, you said maybe you were a bit hasty in giving episode 1 a 4, but that was how you felt at the time. You know, and we'll probably come back at the end of the season and go, God, how did we think those first episodes were so good when this is like 5 bloob after 5 bloob?
Yeah.
Or, you know, maybe two after two. You don't know. But, you know, hindsight is 2020, right?
You just don't know. But let's hope it continues. But before we get into the plot, we're going to have a quick little advert break. Quick advert here to say if you are enjoying this podcast, please do subscribe, or even better, subscribe to Bastards and Broken Things and Fan Critical. Fan Critical is our main channel where we review so many other shows and films, but we also have our own content, so please do go check that out now. Our Patreons are honestly incredible. They have sponsored us, and it's because of them that we can do a lot of the stuff that we are doing. And ring the little bell. We have a new Patreon to welcome to the fellowship this week, and that is Mel's, or Mel's Bells.
Ding, 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 ding.
And ding, 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 ding.
Mel's Bells.
We know you've been a listener and supporter of ours for a very long time, and Mel's actually has her own podcast, Damn Fine TV. That's Damn Fine TV. Go check that one out as well. And it means a lot to us now that you have joined our Patreon club. Like we said, you've supported us for a very long time. And I hope that we can give you all of the House of the Dragon coverage that your heart desires. Isn't that right, guys?
Yes.
Hell yeah.
And more.
And more.
And more.
Well, I think you have to pay a little bit more for more, don't you? That's...
Pay more for more. Yeah, that's the next tip. Joking. But if you want to help us out, lovely listeners, and you want to get some bonus content too, please do go to patreon.com/fancritical and choose your desired tier. We do commission podcasts on there and have a review of Spiderhead coming up for our lovely Patreon, Beth, very soon. That's patreon.com/fancritical. Go check it out. Go on. Give us some monies. Come on. Anyway, let's get into the plot of Rogue Prince, shall we?
Give us money. Give us money. Come on.
Go on.
So, as we predicted last week, team, there is indeed a title sequence. And I can safely say I was extremely disappointed.
That tune is going to be in my head all day now. It's a very good one.
I can't believe
here we go.
That... So we're just about to end last week's podcast, and just as Len's giving his little sign off, I say to Len, just before we go, what do you think the title sequence is going to be? What do you think it's going to be like? We were predicting, you know, obviously Ramon Djawadi, a little bit of a remix, maybe a bit of a Targaryen-esque intro.
A rearrangement.
Yeah. And then I think one of the things I wanted to see was like, the hierarchies or the family trees of the Targaryens. So
the family tree, yeah.
You kind of know who's where, and it's like, brilliant. That'd be really good. Obviously, they're going to do it way better than I could think. They're obviously not going to use the Game of Thrones intro, because that would be fucking lazy and terrible.
Literally a quote from last week, yeah.
Bang, episode begins. I was like, oh, fuck off.
It's such a shame, because in the beginning, sort of beginning-ish of the first episode, they did something a little bit different with it, and it was quite cool. I can't remember, one of the first scenes.
Yeah, they did. They did like a sort of...
So lazy, isn't it?
Yeah. So what we've done, listeners, as you can hear for our title music, is we've actually used the dragon theme as our title music, because we're not fucking lazy. You know, Djawadi's made... the dragon theme from the first pilot episode, where you see Rhaenyra flying over with Syrax flying over King's Landing. What a fucking epic tune. Like, he can do it. Why? And I said this in the hot take. What have they done? They've gone, oh, Ramon, you want to make a new track? Or do you think that's as good as you can do? He's like, that's probably as good as I can do. Sack it off. Oh, okay. Good. I mean,
it's a real shame.
What world are they living in?
I really wanted this to. I mean, that is one of the things that annoyed me about episode 2. Is that I really wanted this to stand out from and stand alone I suppose, in its own way, as much as it can. You know, it's obviously it's going to ride on the tails of Game of Thrones. I couldn't make it more clever, but it doesn't have to do it completely. It has to have, you know, and it should have its own kind of voice and bearing. And I feel like that as it might seem like a really little thing to some people, but I think it's really important, and they've sort of missed a trick there a bit.
I think you're right, Emma. I think they needed to make this stand on its own, because at the moment, like even last week, it's trying to bring these Game of Thrones Easter eggs in, and it's like you don't really need to do that. Like just be your own.
I thought
there'd
be a dragon in this. Just chocolate.
There's a toy in there.
Oh, brilliant! Oh, it's a dragon toy.
It's a toy duck.
So we're disappointed with the music. What did you think of the animation?
Yeah, just boring again, wasn't it?
I thought it was a bit muddled.
Blood, I think it was.
What are they trying to say?
They're trying to do blood. Yeah, good one. Because it's, you know, blood and that.
Blood of the dragon.
But the thing is, like, I was like, what is this that they're doing here? Like, what's happening? And then, you know, you see the full thing and at the end, like the... It's like, oh, what is it? It's some sort of like... Incan Aztec ruin.
No, it's Valyria. It's Valyria.
I know it's supposed to be Valyria, but it's very like Aztec in style, isn't it?
It was, yeah. It's ancient. It's an ancient civilization.
My thoughts on this entire thing are: I'm not quite as angry as you guys all are about the reusing of the music, because I think it's a lazy decision, and it's a poor decision, but I kind of get why they've done it. And I said this in Hot Takes, it's risk averse. They're trying, they're going, let's just play it safe and not try something new that's going to get ridiculed and immediately kind of make us receive unfair comparisons to Game of Thrones.
Just cancel it. Just cancel it. Just, like, if you're not going to take risks. Like, honestly.
If you're not going to make the effort.
They have made the effort. Do you not think it's what it stands for that fucks me off? You know, in the first episode, we get a Zero Blood moment where it's like, look, basically, I'll give you this little dagger, that's going to be important. And also, there was a dream called A Song of Ice and Fire. It's like, whoa, why are you laying all this on me? I'm only 15. I'm only just getting to the point where I'm going to be heir.
Yeah.
And now you're putting all this on my door? Like, come on. That's awful. Right, I don't care what anyone says. I don't care what any people that write in slugs say. Right, that's shit. Right, so it's what that intro stands for, where it's just like, oh, do you know what? Yeah. We're just going to have tenuous links to Game of Thrones because we're too scared for the material to stand on its own two legs.
Yes, but
that's right.
But
I agree.
That's
I agree
partly what it is, I think. And you know, I get. I'm just saying. I'm not saying that they're right to think that way or to act that way. I think it's a poor choice. And, you know, decisions like that might mean that your show never gets worse than 6 out of 10. But it also means you're not giving yourself the chance
not,
of being
yeah,
a 9
not,
or a 10
well,
out of
exactly.
10.
It's not going to soar the skies like the dragons have passed. Yeah.
I will say that thematically, what do you think we're getting here? So there's all the blood and stuff. And it was interesting to me that Viserys mentioned, because he's got the fucking sculpture of, you know, old Valyria. It's like, oh, that's that thing from the title sequence. But he was like, oh, and the blood mages were here. And I was like, okay, so is the blood reference to the fact that it's believed that the Targaryens used blood magic to control dragons? And that's how the fire and blood came to their name and stuff. Is that the reference that they're trying to get here?
Who knows?
Because it was so bizarre.
Tenuous,
weird line from
like,
series about the blood mages.
So these fucking tenuous links, but then we've got these outrageous links where it's like, I'm half expecting someone to be like, well, I don't know, what would the Starks do? Why has he said that? Why have they come up? Like, it's just honestly.
And the man
really
who dreamt that dream was Sir George Martin Targaryen.
Yeah. Jesus Christ.
Anyway, ooh, anyway.
He's coming.
Let's stop bagging the intro. The good news is I have no idea what the symbols mean yet, so I've got to do some more. I've watched it like four times. I noticed the necklace that Damon gave was one of the little symbols, but some of the others just made no sense. But we'll have a look. We'll see how it develops. We'll see if it changes, because we know the Game of Thrones ones did change every now and then with different locations and stuff. So
clever.
We'll keep an eye on it, lovely listeners, and we'll let you know if our opinions on it change. The episode picks up 6 months after Princess Rhaenyra is named heir. Prince Daemon remains in Dragonstone because he basically said he was told to go to the Vale to his wife, who he hates. He said, nah, I'm just going to go take the seat of the heir of the throne and take my gold cloaks there and sort of fortify it. And basically, whilst this is all going on, pirates led by the Crab Feeder menace the Stepstones at behest of the Triarchy. That's how the episode sort of opens. So 6 months has passed and we've got all of this shit going on. I didn't mind the time jump because I know we've got a lot of ground to cover, and it's given us time for the tensions to sort of rise.
I could have just done with a little caption saying 6 months later that would help.
yeah, John would have fucking lost
7th
it.
7th of
him.
February, 6 months. Oh, what? February? What's going on here? Using calendar months now.
What do you reckon to Kragas Drahar, a.k.a. Kragas Crabfeeder?
Great.
Probably going to be a villain for this large part of the season. What do you reckon, guys?
Yeah. Dark.
Pretty cool.
I'm really intrigued by it. I think, you know, it's nice to have an almost faceless villain, really, in any kind of show. And I think there's, you know, there's
if they call him that, honestly. If they're like faceless men, that lot. Why are you saying that, honestly?
Oh my!
Hold on. When you're watching a show that is largely built around political intrigue, basically, you know, and family ties and inheritance and hierarchy, it is often, I will say, actually, of a benefit to have an outside threat that is not about the threats within your own, you know, small council or large
council. King.
Because it gives opportunity for division, further division, or for, you know, allies. And I think as a plot device, plus also what the fuck is that dude up to, is really interesting. Really interesting and that's creepy.
So what is better? Death, remember season 2, Game of Thrones, they put a bucket on this guy's chest and then they put a rat in there and then the rat eats the guy's
they burn
chest
up.
What's
heat
worse?
Up, didn't they? So the rat, yeah.
That's right. Yeah. And then what's worse? So is it the rat eating through your chest, like reverse alien style? Or is it like the crabs slowly nibbling, thousands of crabs slowly eating your wounds and legs away?
That's worse.
Rat. Oh, do you reckon? That's the rat one, surely.
Yeah, I think the rat.
At least that's quicker.
You think it's quicker? I don't know. One rat would take a while.
I mean,
1,000 crabs?
First of all,
depends how tired the crabs are.
I mean,
have they been working all day?
They're not carnivorous, are they?
Do that.
No, I don't think they're
crabs
carnivorous.
Are.
No,
they are. These ones are.
These ones are.
Did you just say they are now? Yeah, they are now. Sod it.
Yeah, they learn to be.
All right, but I thought it'd be. So we've gone down on the rat then, have we? We've gone down on the rat. 3-1 on rat. Got you.
Poor choice. I think that's a really weird choice.
No, yours is the weird choice, mate. Only 25% of people have picked crabs. So yeah, you do the math.
Anyway, so. So for anyone who's who doesn't know what this Triarchy is, because it's a bit confusing, it's sort of been like, hey, there's this group of islands called the Stepstones, and there's this crab man called Crab Feeder who's fucking shit up.
Crab
man. The Triarchy is a sort of alliance of the three cities, some of them on Essos, Myr, Lys, and Tyrosh, okay? And basically they all sort of got together maybe about 10 years or maybe 20 years even, I don't know, before this time. And they've been basically taking over these Stepstones and sort of taking down pirates. But now this Crab Feeder guy is sort of attacking Corlys's ships. So he's sort of overreaching. You know what I mean? They were attacking pirates and now this guy is kind of a pirate himself. And he looks quite menacing. So... we'll talk about him a bit more at the end of the episode for sure, because there's a little bit more of him. But I think it's an interesting setup, this Triarchy. And, you know, Viserys doesn't want war, does he? He doesn't want to start declaring war on the Free Cities because that's going to be a fucking expensive war.
He just looks like he can't be arsed with anything at the moment. Like,
bless him.
Yeah, I really like him. It's quite nice.
Paddy Considine is excellent.
Yeah, I mean, I was not thrilled about the casting because I just find it bizarre to have him in this, I have to be honest. He's brilliant. It's just the way, like, I just can't look at him and not, I don't see the character. I see the actor every time he's on the screen. It would be like if you had Tom Hardy in this or something, I'd be like,
yeah, I agree.
What's going on here?
No, I agree. It looks like his wig is definitely attached.
I mean,
whereas when I look at Damon, I'm like, he looks
that's
all right.
His hair. But the wigs all around, I think they need a new wig applicator.
Wigs all round. We're giving away.
Wigs on me, everybody.
Yeah.
Yay!
The wigs are on me. But yeah, no, sorry. I was just going to say on Paddy, it is quite nice to have a king in this series that you can look at and be like, oh, he's heart's in the right place.
He's a nice guy.
Mm.
Yeah,
he's not just pissed all the time.
Unfortunately,
like Robert.
Unfortunately, that doesn't make you a good king, does it, John?
No.
If your heart's in the right place all the time.
No.
So here we go. So meanwhile, poor Viserys, the small council works to find a suitable match for King Viserys' remarriage in order to propagate his royal line because they believe that it's under threat because after naming Rhaenyra the first female heir, reneging on the great council, it's put the realm in a little bit of a destabilized state.
Mm.
Now, Rhaenyra here, when she's in these small council meetings, she's been made heir to the throne and she's still just a cupbearer. What do you think about that?
Insulting.
And they're dismissive of her.
You've got to earn your stripes.
Hmm. She's 15, man.
I mean, kings and queens have ruled younger than that.
I actually think what it is it's more... I think it's not intentional, and I think this comes back to what we were saying about King Viserys, is that he is oblivious, I think, to a lot of things. In that, really, when he named her as his heir, he should have done something to help her assume that position, like have a conversation with her, or maybe talk to her about how she should hold herself and present herself.
Get her a badge or something.
Maybe a badge or, you know, a hat.
Little hat.
You know, something.
Yeah, go on. I've got a couple of wigs I was giving away earlier. Hey.
And maybe have taken away the responsibility of cupbearer from the heir to the Iron Throne. Don't know, thinking about it. But I think it's more obliviousness and passiveness in him. And that, you know...
He is passive. He's a very passive
king. And I think she... I really like Princess Rhaenyra. I think she's got a bit of... something to her, you know, a bit of brain that with the right application, I think she could really show what she's capable of, and I think this episode gave her the opportunity to do that.
She does, and she gets tasked with picking the new Kingsguard member.
Yeah, that's good.
And she chooses the mystery sort of knight character, Criston Cole. Mm. He's going up in the world, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's doing well for himself.
He's done
zero
for himself,
to hero. I didn't even know he was 6 months ago. Now he's playing member of the Kingsguard.
Yeah. I've got to say, Rhaenyra's like they haven't had any combat experience. They're just tawny knights.
Yeah, they're all
from what we saw
summer
of
knights.
Tawnies last week. Like that's fair experience.
I will say, Gareth, it was very brutal. There was a couple of maces to the head, and skulls getting cracked open.
No, but I mean, that was just a little excuse, though, wasn't it? You know, she wanted Kristen.
Yeah.
And also, look at how fucking square the other guys were. Like, if this is someone you're going to have to knock about with all the time. Oh, let me tell you this story about how I got this hunt. Oh,
well,
go away, mate. Honestly.
Go away, mate.
How many wars you fought in? Zero, yeah? Right, okay.
Well, there was the war last week when I picked up the poker truck. He put up quite a fight.
No, but Kristen is a good-looking boy. And
straight
I'm sure
to that, with you,
that will develop.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah.
Just objectifying the men all the time.
All, yeah, what a dickhead I am.
He's a good looking guy.
He is. And
well,
I liked his line later on. We'll get on to that. To Damon. Very good. Very good.
That was good.
Can we talk
as
a bit?
Alison Hyde.
I was just going to say, can I just quickly bring up the choice of wife?
Yeah, we get onto that, won't we? But yeah,
no, or are we not quite there yet? We're not quite there yet.
No.
No, we're not there yet. We're not there yet.
I'm ahead of myself on my points.
See, this is why I think you should just still be cupbearer, Emma, to be honest.
Yeah,
that's fine.
Right. You've got to earn your stripes.
Yeah.
As Alicent Hightower continues to comfort King Viserys at her father's urging, Lord Corlys Velaryon proposes his own daughter Laena marry the king.
Great idea. I'm glad you brought this up, Len, so that we can talk about it. Good idea.
Yeah, well done there.
Emma,
Emma,
what do you think about this, Emma, this I would say disturbing chat they
have
in the
garden. So promptly, Len, clearly I just moved forward 30 seconds in time. I apologise for my over-eagerness to talk about this.
It was like, no, whoa, we'll get onto that later. We'll get onto it later,
And now it's later.
Anyway, next piece on the agenda.
When that was first mentioned, it took me a little while to realise that it was the kid, right? And I don't know about you guys, but I mean, it's later revealed that she's 12 years old. That girl looks like she's about 8. And I understand that sometimes marriage is political, but what the actual fuck?
Mm.
Like, could you not? Do you not have a son you can marry to the princess? Like, why? Why? Well,
but this is the thing, right? So, like,
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
I like the fact that they've gone with an actress that's clearly a kid. This is the problem I have with, like, the casting of Dany, Game of Thrones Season 1, okay?
Good point.
Because of the sexual nature of that character, they couldn't have, like, a 14-year-old or whatever she was at the time.
13.
And obviously, Princess Rhaena, she's, like, 15.
Rhaenyra.
She's 15.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, would it have been better if this younger version of this character was actually played by a kid? As opposed to, I mean, the actress is like in her early 20s. Would it land a little bit more where you'd look at her character and kind of understand like the pressure on her at that age? Because if you look at those two characters in that scene, she's clearly like 10 years older than this kid. But the reality is there's a three-year gap.
I think that this scene, using the younger-looking kid, like you said, is important because it just highlights what it used to be like. It was probably even fucking worse. Do you know what I mean? Mm. And it's that sort of dawning of reality. It's like Viserys at this point is like, I don't know, 45, 46 years old or something. And he's talking to essentially a 10, 12-year-old. And you just get this, I found it one of the most disturbing scenes. My mind was just churning, going, this is what it used to be like. In my head, I was like, this is what used to happen in medieval times. And the question of, he says, what does your mother say? So I won't have to bed you
until 14.
I'm 13 or something.
14.
Yeah. Do you know what?
I was just like, fucking
hell. I get your point, Len, I do. And I think, like, if that conversation between her parents and the king had been more along the lines of, or probably had removed the line to further your bloodline, and it was more just about a political alliance, I think I'd have felt differently about it. And, I realised that we're thinking back at, you know, this is the year 101. So very different time. So I get that, but I think that being so overt about like taking on a very young and fertile 12-year-old to be your wife to further your bloodline instead of just a political alliance or a strengthening of an alliance would have landed better with me. Largely, I was just creeped out by it, you know, to be honest.
And you should be.
You should be.
Yeah.
That's normal. John said last week, if anyone wasn't disturbed by a scene, they should be arrested. This is a similar thing. If you're not disturbed by the scene, turn yourself in to the police station, please. Yeah. Now, there's a good chat that John mentioned here in his synopsis review between Rhaenys, the queen that never was, the queen who was spurned at the Great Council, a granddaughter of King Jaehaerys himself, so has the royal blood. And they have a conversation, those two, Rhaenyra and Rhaenys, saying how there's a line of dialogue, the realm will be brought to the torch before a woman sits the Iron Throne, says Rhaenys. Mm. Good line, that. I thought it was a very good line.
Yeah.
And it's that idea that she's clinging on to this. I reckon there's a slither of hope that a woman would sit the throne, but she just knows she's been spurned. She knows it doesn't go that way.
Yeah, a bit arrogant.
So she's trying to tell Rhaenyra, like,
do you not think? Well, I didn't get it, so no. Obviously, no one's ever going to get it. So don't. Yeah, maybe you're rubbish.
So don't even bother. If anything.
Yeah.
Best line of the episode. That you're rubbish.
It was good dialogue, though, and yes. It was good. It was a good interaction because Rhaenys is an interesting character, and it would be. I'm enjoying seeing more of her. You know, as the show goes on, we got a few little scenes of her here. She's a very powerful character. Yeah. She's a strong-willed woman, and has a lot of influence over Lord Corlys. You know, so.
Oh, it's her husband.
Of course, yeah. I'm saying she's one of the main influences there. Not saying that the Sea Snake is not a fucking powerful individual, because Corlys Velaryon is a fucking, he's a cool guy. Like, the stories of him are amazing. Some of the stuff that he's done, the places he's been. You know,
Reading, Bracknell,
Slough. Yeah.
Why are you naming places all around where I work? That's really bizarre.
Oh my god. Do you work at a paper merchant by any chance?
Yeah. Bracknell does sound like a place. I mean, he
it is a place.
The,
yeah.
The driftwood. Yeah, it does. It sounds like a place from Westeros.
Oh, you didn't finish that sentence, then. It just driftwood. Made it sound like you've forgotten about our dreary little island.
Yeah, so Hereth Longthorpe of Bracknell. Yeah.
Anyway, let's move on to what I think is a very excellent set of scenes. Daemon steals a dragon egg to goad Viserys into coming to Dragonstone, but Hand of the King Otto Hightower volunteers himself instead. When bloodshed nears dangerously close, Rhaenyra shows up to Dragonstone on Syrax to retrieve the egg.
Saves all the silly little boys by riding in on a dragon and being a badass. Familiar?
Yeah. No.
Yes. I will go on then. Give me your thoughts. I think this is the best scene. The best scenes of the episode.
It is. No? Yeah. And look, as I said, in terms of like its look alone is something that comes straight out of a book. It looks incredible.
And that's what I mean about this scene, John. Do you not think, like, the mist, the way that Martin would describe it, the way that the fucking bridge is there, even the dialogue, everything about it felt like it was from him? Do you know what I mean? I wouldn't be surprised if he wrote this.
Well, I would be surprised, because he's not writing anything at the moment. He's just sitting there just stuffing his face with Pringles. And do you know what I mean?
He's writing fucking shitloads, mate. Just not the just one not thing the winter, that anyone winter, actually yeah. wants to yeah. write.
He's writing this, I'm telling you.
It will make an announcement next week. It's top 10 baseball players of all time. Why? Why is this happening?
Yeah. He got all like crumbs and stuff down his top, mate. Just brush yourself down before you jump onto a Zoom. Before I talk about this scene, can I just get people's opinions on Otto Hightower? Because... and I think Rhys Ifans, I think he does a better job of, I don't look at him and go, he was in Notting Hill, for fuck's sake. But everything he does, he comes across as a bit like sneering, like he's an obvious schemer. I don't like it. It's too much, no. I think.
I
mean, Gaz talked about really this like in the hot take, didn't we, Gaz? You could take it away.
I really like his portrayal of Otto. I think I know what you're saying, but I really like it. It works for me. I think everything that he says is not, it's like implicit.
Obvious. It's not obvious. There's
nothing,
yeah.
It never explicitly states what his actual motivations or intentions are. Everything is like a carefully phrased sentence. He wants to ensure that like the actual meaning is hidden behind it. And, you know, I think we spoke about it in Hot Takes, the discussion about the potential of Viserys marrying Laena. And, you know, that's a great example. He concedes that it's a good match. It makes sense. And then,
but then he mentions his wife. He mentions how
goes for the emotion.
He does not envy you, you know, your grace, and he thinks
know,
about he's trying
look,
to bring it down
his
to connection,
face at the
which
time,
is getting with
Alison. It's the face he's doing, like it's his tonality and stuff. It's clear that he doesn't want that to happen.
But Viserys is quite weak-willed, so I think it's you get away with it with him. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Why are you saying it like that? What's your actual opinion? Can you give me one? Or I don't like it.
Viserys wouldn't say that.
Yeah.
Yeah. He goes, "My dear Otto, tell me what you think." He's fully an open book with him. What was quite good though is seeing Otto in a sort of combat situation. Mm. I thought this was quite interesting because he's, you know, in his mail and he's there with his 20 men. He's got Sir Criston there, and I thought, you know, and a Daemon comes out. And you've got this amazingly shot sequence where they're both at either ends, the gold cloaks, nope. The King's Guard. The gold cloaks would be, wouldn't they, John?
Yeah.
At either end. Mm. Anyway. But I thought it was amazing to see how it almost did reach bloodshed. And then Daemon says to Criston, like, "Oh, yeah, Sir Criston."
He's
like, "Do you not remember when I..."
Sir Crisps,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah, he calls him Crispin. Actually. He calls him Crispin, yeah. Absolutely, yeah. And then he says, "Do you remember when I unseated you off your horse?" He's like, and Daemon has a little chuckle. He's like,
yeah. It was about 6 months ago, wasn't it?
It's like, yeah.
Because that was one of the most embarrassing moments of Daemon's
day.
Sort of life. Life. He doesn't lose tourneys. Like he does it, you know. He's a pretty decent fighter, and that was
decent
to lose to a nobody. Mm. Yeah, he's decent, mate. He's decent, yeah. Mm. But what did you think about the shot of Rhaenyra
decent.
Coming in on the dragon?
Decent as well.
Decent. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was cool. That was very cool. The clouds all lifting. You're like, oh, draggy, and it was a draggy. Big old
dragon.
No, not
I did think it was going to be. I mean, I didn't think about it. Just in the moment, I was like, "Whoa, is this some sort of mega dragon?" Because it looked it for a second.
Well, they hinted to it. They hinted, didn't they, earlier in that conversation between the king and the young 12-year-old match.
Yep.
Remember that massive dragon? Where's that gone? No idea. Well, apparently, some people are saying it sings sad songs. Anyway, don't worry about that for now.
There you go. Yes. We'll
come back to that in season two.
Well, no, it is interesting because, and we didn't talk about this, it's quite an interesting point about Viserys himself, is that he was the last person to ride Beleriand the Dread. Beleriand, the biggest dragon that ever existed, that conquered Westeros. Aegon, you know, conquered Westeros with Beleriand. And before he died, Beleriand died in like 97 AC or something.
1997,
Viserys,
yep.
1997. Viserys bonded with him for that year.
What?
And that's quite impressive.
Soul bonded.
Like, soul bonded. It's a Rick and Morty thing. And it's quite an impressive feat. Like,
yeah, it'd be massive, wouldn't
big,
they?
Aren't they? Yeah. It's scaly, though.
Anyway, you know what I mean? And since then, he's not been able... He's had no bond with any other dragons. So he doesn't ride a dragon anymore.
Mm.
He doesn't ride a dragon anymore. So he's a king. He's a Targaryen who does not ride a dragon.
And he's a bit anti-dragon, actually. Like,
a little
he's
bit,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, you know, dragons, good in that. Glad we had him. Yeah. But
He does say they're a power that men should never have trifled with. And then he mentions the Blood Mages, which I mentioned earlier, and how potentially that's how the Targaryens and the Valyrians bound the dragons to their blood. You know, so it's very interesting to know he's sort of taken a view that maybe they should never have got involved with them.
Yeah.
Anyway, very interesting.
Well, just dangerous, aren't they? You're right. The size of their feet. Jesus, man. Right.
Bloody huge. Size of cars, I heard. anyway, Rhaenyra comes in. They talk High Valyrian. She says, look, I'm the only thing standing in the way between you and the throne. If you want the throne so much, kill me.
Yeah.
And then he chucks the egg at her, like Tom Brady. She catches it. Unbelievable catch, by the way. Why's he throwing it?
Because he's a prick. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah. It was great. Is he, though? I don't know if he is he?
He's a good prick, though.
No, he's a good prick, did you say?
Good prick. He's a good prick.
I like him.
I think, personally.
I wasn't sure about Matt Smith, but I think he's done a great job so far.
I actually didn't like his
great job
acting at that bit.
Do you not?
Looked a bit scared. Looked a little bit more scared than I feel Damon should. I think.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, Crispin's there, isn't he? And Crispin's beaten him before.
Six months ago. He's arrogant and doesn't.
Poor Crispin.
He'll blame the wind or the long grass or something. You know, not admit that he was beaten.
Mm.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that in the book, Rhaenyra doesn't turn up to this exchange. I'm pretty sure Daemon just listens to what the king says. And, you know, I think they've added that in. Obviously for dramatic effect, and I think it works very well.
Correct.
Yeah. And it adds an extra layer of complexity to their relationship. But I thought it was a fantastic scene. I thought the tension was good. I thought the tension was really there, that, you know, in that moment. And it helped the episode, because otherwise the episode would have been really slow. So to have a little bit of conflict in there was really good. So when she returns, her disobedience angers the king.
Sort of
he
angers.
He doesn't seem that angry.
No, I agree. I don't think he was. Well, he was sort of like, you've disobeyed me. She's like, can we just sit down? And he sits down and just starts laughing about 30 seconds later. Like, you're not
like he was annoyed because he felt like he had to be, but actually I think he was really impressed.
Yeah,
I'm sure he is impressed. But also at the same time, he's that passive sort of king. So even when he's angry, he probably can't stay angry for long. they finally have a heart-to-heart about Queen Aemma. Or Emma, as I've been told I should be saying.
Yeah.
And the matter of remarrying. And I thought that was nice, because he's kind of like, you know I've got to do. And she's like, yeah, I know what you've got to do. Cut to...
He's in a brothel.
Small council meeting.
No, not really.
cut to small council meeting, and then they're all sat there. Corlys, Rhaenyra, all the fucking other small council members. Yeah. And he goes, I have decided to wed again. he says he's going to wed Alicent Hightower, which is a massive mic drop moment. Corlys is pissed off. Rhaenyra is pissed off. They both storm out. And I can't believe that he just did that after sort of fixing things with his daughter. He then goes and fucking destroys them again.
Now, well, this is the thing about him, right? Is that A is passive, and B doesn't explain himself properly. He assumes that everybody knows what's going on in his head, like a, sorry about this, like a stereotypical man. When he has that conversation with Rhaenyra, he says, I hope you understand why I have to make the choice, why I'm making the choice that I'm making, thinking that she knows that Alicent has been visiting him and obviously, you know, following through with the plan that her father has to secretly make him fall in love with her a little bit, thinking that Rhaenyra knows that and she doesn't. So he's making assumptions. And, like, I mean, to be fair, Alicent is beautiful. Why wouldn't you marry her? She's lovely.
She's 15.
A bit old, isn't she, really, for the Targaryen?
Fucking hell.
Fucking hell.
But also, it's your daughter's best mate.
A little bit too far removed from the bloodline for a Targaryen as well.
What can you
that
do?
That is interesting.
I think it's an excellent choice. Because it's not a 12-year-old.
Sorry.
Okay. Your standards are so low.
Yeah, you literally have the lowest standards.
I did just say she's the most beautiful woman in the show.
She's not. No. She's not 12, so it's an excellent choice. That's what you said.
That's not what. No. Did I actually say that? Not even hungover. But I thought it was done really well. You could see it coming, but I thought it was done really well, and the reactions were amazing, even from the seasoning.
Well, let's just say their friendship's never going to be the same again, is it? She's just gone from her BFF to her mum. So,
grim.
They can still
think
be friends.
Of that what you will. Yeah. Of course.
Why not?
Big time. Well, Gareth brought this up in the hot take, didn't you, Gareth? Because obviously, you were saying how Alison is, you know,
well,
looking to provide male heirs, and that's obviously going against Rhaenyra's claim. So yeah, there's no way that tension's not going to
be
there.
Well, this is what I'm talking about in terms of how this episode is mapping things out for us and setting the pieces. So, you know, we know that they are very close. They're like sisters. And soon they will be related, but not in the way that they want to be. And yeah, they're going to have very different motivations moving forwards, which could certainly become a point of tension.
And the other person who's pissed off is Corlys. He feels that he's been slighted again. Him and Rhaenys were slighted at the Great Council, and now they've been slighted again.
I mean,
he says himself,
he's sort of right, but what I will say is the way that he stands up and says, "This is an absurdity," like as if marrying your 12-year-old daughter would be the normal thing to do.
It is in those days, though, Gareth.
Is it?
So for him, it's perfectly normal. But I will say that he's got a point, because, you know, House Valyrian is extremely old. It comes from Valyria. They share the same blood of the Targaryens in a way. Not the dragon link, but, you know, they come from same descendants. He then strikes up a deal with Daemon. He says they're second sons, and they need to take what is theirs, starting with the Stepstones and the Crab Feeder, who we see once again disfigured and letting his crab munch on his enemies. Yeah?
He looked to me like he was wearing a crab.
Including you guys.
Yeah, he was, wasn't he? He was wearing a crab on his head, wasn't he?
Yeah, I thought it was a crab.
Well, okay, so here we go.
He's wearing a crab as a mask.
I thought this was interesting, because his face has got some disfigurement. He's obviously wearing a mask, like we talked about shells or whatever. But it looks like he has grayscale. I was looking at several images of this on Reddit, and also, you know, freeze framing, because I'm a bit of a dweeb. And it looks like he's got grayscale, which is an illness not mentioned in the books of Fire and Blood, that he has it. Kind of adds this interesting level of you can't go near him, because, you know, you don't want to go near him because you get grayscale kind of situation.
If only they had like some sort of like invincible air attack.
Archery.
I was sort of expecting the end of this episode to just be Daemon flying above them on the dragon, just burning everyone to death on the beach.
Yeah, I thought that. I thought that.
Yeah, you're right.
I thought that as well.
But I'm glad it didn't happen.
Well, we need to see Daemon in action. We need to see Daemon in war, which I'm really looking forward to. And this is the purpose for him. This alliance with Lord Corlys is integral to what happens in the future. And these skirmishes at the Stepstones against Kragas are going to be the thing that I hope brings us the action that the show needs. Because otherwise, we're just going to have political manoeuvring. But this little war and this is a chance for Daemon to claim, you know, a small kingdom, essentially. Do you know what I mean? He tried to get Dragonstone. He hasn't really got anywhere. This is his chance. Corlys is going, look, if you help me out, you can fucking have the Stepstones. Do you know what I mean?
So, like, how did you get it so quickly?
dragon, innit? So, don't worry about it.
I just hung on to its foot. They're massive. Yeah, fair enough.
There's this guy called Littlefinger. He gave me this magic carpet.
Teleporters. Does anyone want to bring anything else up in the episode that I might have missed or they think is important before we move on to feedback?
No, I don't think so. Let's get the feedback.
Well, we asked for feedback and we have received in all shapes, sizes and forms. First of all, our friend Tristan Coombs on Facebook, and this is a very, good piece of feedback, hello, guys, Tristan. Because it involves our love of Ghostbusters 2.
What?
He says, and I think he's spot on here, he says, anyone getting Vigo from Ghostbusters 2 vibes from Matt Smith? Fucking yes.
Such a good chat.
He put a picture on the Facebook
it's the
group.
It's the hairline, isn't it?
Right now. It's the hair, but it's also the sort of, as Lucy calls it, the inbred face situation.
I don't know if you can say that about people.
It's going to be so awkward when he's on this podcast.
I didn't. Lucy did.
Slander. I'm sorry, Matt Smith.
Lucy said it. I'm repeating it, okay? I'm just repeating. Okay?
Treason.
So, and I thought it was lovely because I never thought there'd be a Ghostbusters 2 link with House of the Dragon. So I have to say, I am very, very happy. Yeah. The next email is a very interesting email, and it's quite serious. So let me know what you think about this, guys, because it refers to the scene of Queen Emma's death in the last episode. Ladies and gents, this is from Sorsha. Ladies and gents, greetings from Texas. In listening to your review of season one, episode one of House of the Dragon, I was touched by your reception of how graphic and unnecessary Emma endured in childbirth. For some American audiences, what Emma endured is now a reality that pregnant people are subjected to in Texas with the overturning of Roe versus Wade in the Dobbs decision determined by our Supreme Court and the subsequent three trigger laws that are now good law in Texas, one of which dates back to 1857. This scene was horrific to experience, but the reasoning of both the king and the current state legislature / Supreme Court is that ultimately it does not matter what happens to the person engaged in childbirth, only the potential product. For the last 3 months, there have been women hemorrhaging from miscarriage that have been refused care up until the threshold of death, requiring up to 3 blood transfusions in surgery, being forced to wait up to 2 weeks with deceased fetal tissue whilst going septic, or having been told to drive to New Mexico or Kansas, it can take 13 hours to drive to a different state depending on your location, to seek life-saving care that has been standard for the last 25 years. For American audiences, I feel this scene was critical and essential to witness because, I shit you not, pre, peri and postpartum care access has become fucking medieval. Since 2012, Texas has had the worst maternal mortality rate, ranked 47th in the world due to lack of accessible care for preventable causes of death before, during and after childbirth. It was important to see and important to witness, as brutal as it was, because in Texas we are just about as well off as the Maesters were there to oversee pregnancy and childbirth. Seriously and sadly, not shitting you.
Mate.
So I thought that was a very, very interesting email.
It was a very eloquently written email as well, and in a lot of ways, not wrong. I mean, I said to you guys when I watched episode one, that was depressing as fuck. But it is a reality of the time that we're watching on the screen. And as much as this diversion from talking about House of the Dragon, well done to her for bringing up a really, really terrible issue, and the risk that women's lives are being put at because of a decision. Fully support it, and that's all I'll say. Not the decision, I fully support fact that it's a shit decision. Roe v. Wade was, just overturning that was just nonsense.
Yeah, I mean, I'll say, we get a lot of coverage on Roe versus Wade. It was a huge thing and an issue, and to have someone write in with their perspective on it from a state with such a poor maternal care system, apparently, in light of what's happened, I think is it was very interesting. Gaz, John, any thoughts?
I don't think that's what the showrunners were going for. Let's be honest, the timing, production wise, it would be completely out. But no, I could see how someone could interpret it in that way, and look, it's a fair point. And I still will not change my mind about the scene. It felt unnecessary. It felt gratuitous, and I it's absolutely valid for someone to read it in a different way. And it's a very, very eloquent and well thought out letter, which is nice. Normally it's just
very lovely.
I thought your podcast was shit. So well done on that.
we'll come to that, surely.
Yeah. What about you, Gaz?
No, I don't really have any additional insight. I think that email put it perfectly. And you know, that's I'm really glad that we have listeners who are as eloquent and thoughtful as that. So thanks for emailing in.
Okay, so of course, if you do want to write in, you can write in at fancriticalpodcast@gmail.com. The email is in the show notes, and I will also write a link there that you can hopefully press and send us an email if you want to get in touch with us. You can also get in touch with us on Facebook and Instagram. But not all feedback comes to us in many delightful ways. We do sometimes, as John says, receive, you know, some slightly slanderous emails. As you
these
say.
Are the good ones.
These are the good ones. These are the fun ones. Joe Cowden's written into us. He says, greetings.
Joe what?
Started well. Greetings. Danny's dragon's eggs are in Fire and Blood and have a mystery of how they got there in the main series, but it's in Essos.
Oh, lovely stuff. Thanks for the insight, Joe. Great email, buddy.
Thanks, Joe. It's a huge plot point in Fire and Blood with Jaehaerys reign. It's all really there plainly. I wouldn't care if the two non-book readers weren't so dead certain of their pompous, it's turning now, and hilariously wrong reactions. Not that they should have known this, as they didn't read the book, but the arrogance in their reaction is extremely grating. I thought this was a spoiler podcast for people who knew the story.
Arrogant John.
The two geniuses' heads are so far up their own asses, yep. I could barely hear them. How your dreary little island produces such self-delusional blowhards is a total mystery. A nation totally powered by sneering comments on a topic they know fuck all about. See you in hell.
See you in hell.
And some clarity on some of that is that every single person in Fan Critical is a book reader, right?
Yeah, of course. But I think it's just the Fire and Blood. Some of us haven't read Fire and Blood, and some of us have read Fire and Blood. So we are coming into this not as well versed as A Song of Ice and Fire, for example.
There's a couple of things here.
But I mean, this email... Go on, John.
So there's a couple of things here. What was the surname? Coward.
Crispin.
He said, yeah, remember when I smashed you in that email?
No, so what, 6 months ago? Okay, does it make sense? right, so there's a couple of things here. A major plot point in Fire and Blood... No, it isn't. It might be if you're massively into eggs. And if that's the case, then, you know, fair enough. This podcast is not and I don't think at any point we've said it's a spoiler cast for the books.
No.
Funnily enough, this is a podcast about the TV show. So if you want to know more about the books, head over to Joe's podcast, where he sits there and spends hours talking about eggs. In terms of it being a dreary little island, yeah, look, probably spot on, to be honest.
I have written in my notes.
But it's our dreary little island. Dreary.
It is quite dreary.
But it's my island.
Yeah. But it's got Skegness, so...
Yeah, and Bracknell.
Also, yeah, I mean, how can a reaction be wrong? It doesn't even make sense. It's just a reaction.
I think, yeah.
That's a byproduct of how you respond to something. Yes. So are we arrogant? I mean, I definitely am. Yeah, I could read that.
that's spot on.
So yeah, some of it I agree with. Some of it is just nonsense.
Codswallop.
Codswallop.
I will say that I think what we... Yeah. I think what we were trying to say with Danny's eggs is we were trying to say, like, in relation to the scene where he goes, A Song of Ice and Fire, and then almost looks at the camera and winks at us. We were saying we don't want a situation where they're like, oh, where are those eggs going? Oh, they're going to Essos or something. You know what I mean? Like, we don't know where they... You know, we didn't want a scene where it was like... packaged, you know what I mean, John? We just didn't want something that was so obvious.
Yeah, and point proven this week when the show opens with the Game of Thrones tune. Like, it's
exactly like, it's just
break away from it. Like, the source material is good enough. The eggs, they will have zero impact on this show. Zero.
And I will say this, I genuinely thank you for your feedback, Joe, because genuinely, I really enjoy getting emails like that. they do happen. And sometimes we do shout them out.
Yeah.
Because the most important thing is, you know, we literally say to the feedback section, and then the whole point of the feedback section is, let us know your thoughts. Let us know if we've got anything wrong. Because we do like to be told if we've got something wrong. You can come back and if you disagree with the way we've interpreted a scene, that's absolutely fine. We're open to hearing your opinions and we'll relay why we think we might
have. But if you get personal, we'll make a fool of you. Yeah? So you've been
that's
warned.
Right. Don't get personal. There's no need to say see you in hell. I mean, none of us are massively religious, but that's just unnecessary, man. Mm. Just why can't people be nice to each other? That's the most important thing. Like, it's the easiest thing in the world to be nice to someone. And, you know, unless it's me and Gaz. Me and Gaz argue all the time. But other than that, you can be nice to everyone else. Yeah? So just be nice. Anyway, thank you, Joe. And like I said, if you would like to leave us some feedback, hopefully not as horrible as that last piece.
Don't overreact. Can, it wasn't horrible. It was podcast. Fine.
Just give us all of it, whatever. Give all of the, all of the feedback.
Yeah. That's true.
The good, the bad.
So thank
and
you.
The ugly.
Oh, don't talk about him like that. Fucking hell.
No, don't send us that. Gross.
So you can email fancriticalpodcast@gmail.com. That's fancriticalpodcast@gmail.com with feedback, thoughts on the podcast, anything you want to say to us. It'll be in the show notes. And that brings this episode to a close. It has been a long episode. There's been lots to cover. We all agree it's been a pretty solid start to the House of the Dragon, and long may it continue like the reign of King Viserys, because I'll tell you something, when he's gone, shit's gonna kick off, people. I want to thank Sir Gareth. Yeah, well, in a way, the king's gonna die. That's not a spoiler. What? Everyone dies anyway. I want to thank Bronze John.
Cheers, mate.
Dying. Yeah,
cheers.
No worries. I want to thank Lady Emma, I want to thank you for many things, sustaining young Sir Gareth's life in the early stages.
I'm going to say you're welcome. Yeah. Before you finish that sentence any further, it's been a delight. Thank you, everybody.
Correct. Thanks. And Sir Gareth, not only do we thank you for your opinions, like Rhaenyra, you have spoken out of turn during a small council session. Yeah. You're lucky we didn't send you out of the room, but you poured some very good
kill
wine.
Me then.
John
go
is
on
very
then.
Well
kill
sated.
Me. If you want.
No.
Yeah, see you in can't hell, yeah? So don't...
Couldn't bring myself to... And on that note, I've been your host, Sir Len, and we will see you next week for a hot take on episode 3 of House of the Dragon, and then, of course, our deep dive. Thank you, everybody. Catch you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Goodbye.